Blog Talk Radio.
Attention! Army wives, fall in! You are tuned in to the Internet Talk Radio Show designed specifically for Army wives. Our life, our family, our soldier. Brought to you by the Army Wife Network. Interactive empowerment for Army wives, by Army wives. It's Army Wife Talk Radio. Up-to-the-minute information is right here with special reports, stories, interviews, and more. Now reporting for duty, your host, the AWN Core Team.
Hello, Army families. Welcome to Army Wife Talk Radio, the internet podcast designed specifically for you by the Army Wife Network Core Team. I'm your host, Crystal Niehoff.
And I'm your co-host, Courtney Shepherd. Today is Monday, March 27th, 2017, and this is show number 601. We're glad you're here to hang out with us tonight.
Tonight on AWTR, we are kicking off a month-long mini-series of interviews where our featured guests will be our very own Army Wife Network Core Team members. Tonight, I'll have the pleasure of interviewing Courtney, AWN's Special Projects Coordinator, and in turn, you'll get to hear Courtney ask me questions, allowing you, our listeners, to learn more about each of us.
If you're listening to our show live, join our fun show discussion currently taking place over on Twitter. Comment on the show, ask questions of Crystal or myself tonight, or just hang out and chat with the AWN Core Team. Head over to twitter.com/Army Wife Network, and be sure to use hashtag Army Wife to participate.
Tonight's show is brought to you by your AWN Core Team. We are a dedicated group of volunteers that are passionate about empowering you in this military life. Get to know us through our bios on armywifenetwork.com, or you can follow each of us individually on Twitter. Get a behind-the-scenes look into our Army lives, too. We're just like you. So, Courtney, before we move on with the show, this is your first time co-hosting our show as our new Special Projects Coordinator, calling from tonight.
I am calling from good old Fort Bragg, North Carolina, Crystal.
Awesome. I've never been to Fort Bragg, but I've heard that it's beautiful up there. I've been to the North Carolina area, but
it is.
How do you like Fort Bragg?
I like Fort Bragg. At first, when I heard about us coming to Fort Bragg, I did not think I would like it, but I do. I do. I've come to, it's grown on me. Let's say that. It's definitely grown on me since we've been here.
Awesome. Now, it's a pretty big Army post, isn't it?
Yes. It's huge. The main post itself is just, oh, my goodness, so big. We came from our last city station was Fort Stewart, so the main post area was quite small. So this post is very, very large compared to that post.
Oh, wow. So what's the weather like up there? Did you guys get any snow in this last snowstorm that kind of hit the East Coast?
You know, no, we didn't. We actually have had, like, very springy weather. We've had 70s, and we've had some rain, dark clouds, like the warmer weather with the cooler, you know, kind of made me worried for tornadoes there for a little bit. But, yeah, we've had 70, 75, I think the most we've gotten 80-degree weather in the past, I don't know, about 2 weeks, I think.
Wow, so it's been super nice. That's awesome. Yeah, it's been kind of spring-like in Texas, too. I like to ask where someone's calling in from. I think it's just my nosy, you know, what post are you at? But I'm calling in from Fort Hood, where we've actually had an exceptionally warm winter, which I'm not going to complain about, but it's been quite a while since I've seen snow, so for a Kansas girl who's used to, you know, getting some snow in the winters, it's a little bit of an adjustment, but I like it. And the wildflowers are already out, the blue bonnets. And so I'm not going to complain. I am really enjoying this weather. So, Courtney, I'm so excited to have you on our team. And I'm looking forward to getting to know you a bit better later in the show. However, right now it's time for us to move on to our hot topics this week. Hot in military family news, exciting news for families who like to visit museums. The Army Historical Foundation announced March 16th that construction will soon begin on the National Museum of the United States Army in Fort Belvoir, Virginia. Retired Army Lieutenant General Roger Schultz, the foundation's president, states, "We've just reached another important milestone in our timeline for building the National Museum of the United States Army. There is no other museum in the Army Museum enterprise that tells the complete Army story. We look forward to the day when we open the museum doors and share the Army's storied 241-year history with the American public and the Army family. The vast majority of museums' rare and priceless artifacts, artwork, and images have never been seen by the American people. Outdoor venues will include a memorial garden, amphitheater, parade ground, and Army Trail. The museum will welcome an estimated 700,000 visitors annually. To read more about this museum, head to military.com and look for the story, Construction to Begin on National Army Museum. Excuse me, I'm getting tongue-tied tonight. We'll also be linking to that article in our Twitter feed this evening.
Hot on AWN this week, AWN blog contributor Mindy King shatters some stereotypes about female soldiers and shares a look into her own service in her recent blog post. She shares that while she did sit behind a desk for a very short period of time, she also manned a machine gun on a Black Hawk for the majority of her time in service. Mindy writes, "I won't forget the night we were going out on an air assault and the timeline was bumped back. We shut down and I took my flight helmet off only to baffle a platoon of infantry guys who didn't think that was a female's job, the job females were allowed to do, excuse me. The fact of the matter is, females have been around in positions that are attached to these ground units, but they're simply not acknowledged. As of 2012, well before anything was passed, over 800 women had been injured in Iraq and Afghanistan. 139 of those resulted in death. If you look up some of these female service members, you will find turret gunners on Humvees that went on patrols, MPs that went out to search female prisoners, aviation pilots and crew chiefs, medics that were attached to infantry units, those who didn't sit behind a desk." To read more about Mindy's Mindy's experience as a female soldier, head over to armywifenetwork.com and look for Mindy's post, Another Day in the Office, in our blog section.
It's AWN Social Media Roundup time. Many of us have quotes or special sayings that inspire us or help us get through tough times. AWN recently asked Facebook fans to share with us quotes that have really stood out to them, allowing readers to be encouraged and even find new quotes to write down and remember. We would love to know what quotes inspire and motivate you. If you haven't already added yours, head over to our Facebook page and share it with us. Courtney, do you have a favorite quote or saying that you like?
You know, Crystal, I've always liked the saying that my dad always told me, and that was, "The grass is never greener on the other side. It's greener where you water it." So I've always kind of stuck by that one. Do you have one that you like?
Oh, that's a good one. Yeah, I have three, but I'm going to share one, and it's probably one of my favorite ones. It's a good reminder. And it goes, 100 years from now, it will not matter what my bank account was, the sort of house I lived in, or the kind of car I drove. But the world may be different because I was important in the life of a child. And that's by Forrest E. Whitcraft. And it's just a good reminder that it's not how much we buy for our kids or even really necessarily do for them as far as activities and such, but it's that we pour our lives into them and give them our time that makes a difference. So I like the quote that you shared because it's such a good reminder that, you know, we can always see someone else's grass and how green it is over there and be envious of, you know, what they have or what they're doing and not realize, you know, what we have in our own backyard. So,
right, of course. I think if I had to choose another one, it would be what I tell my daughter, and that would be thankful for what you have, not what you don't complain about what you don't. So I think that kind of goes hand in hand.
Right, that's a good one too. Yeah, giving your child the gift of gratitude. Awesome.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Courtney, tell us about our PSA this week.
Well, last but not least, it's service announcement time. Do you or your business have a military-related PSA? We limit them to one per show and ask for them at least 10 days in advance. Send your PSA to info@armywifesnetwork.com. Take charge of your PCS move. Plan My Move is a Department of Defense relocation tool that connects you with moving resources to help ensure a smooth move. Plan My Move is an online moving tool that simplifies the moving process, breaking it down into clear, manageable steps for both experienced and first-time movers. Use the Plan My Move planning calendar to organize your move. Select your departure date, departure location, and your destination to easily customize the calendar to meet your specific needs. Add, modify, and remove tasks, list key departure and arrival cities, access general and installation-specific information, modify the time frame for your move, ranging from 1 month to even 2 years. Plan My Month also features handy to-do lists and checklists. Choose your departure and destination locations, as well as the departure date, to create the printable to-do lists and checklists to help you stay organized. Go to planmymove.militaryonesource.mil to learn more. That's it for our PSA. Coming up next, after these quick commercial breaks, is our new sixth gen, bringing you the need-to-know stories. We'll be right back.
Operation In Touch offers special savings, coupons, and editorial content tailored to the lives of our active military families, providing useful beauty tips and recipes, as well as news and ongoing promotions. Operation In Touch is sponsored by Unilever and its brands, serving as a resource for American military families who serve this nation each and every day. As a member of Operation In Touch, you'll receive exclusive offers and savings on Unilever products you know and love. Registration is easy and free. Simply visit OperationInTouch.com to sign up today. And be sure to like us on Facebook.
Juice, Mom. Juice, juice, juice.
Mommy, why are we going to the store? Mom, I want juice.
Your child will have different needs at different stages of life, and that includes the car seat. See, car crashes are a leading killer of children ages 1 to 13. Protect your child's future at every stage of life. Go to safercar.gov/the right seat.
A message from the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
Are you looking to reach military families worldwide? Do you have a product or service to offer our listeners? Advertise with the Army Wife Network. AWN has many advertising options specifically designed to reach our military families. Visit armywifenetwork.com for details.
You're listening to the AWTR Live News 6 Report.
Our life, our family, our soldier, news you can use.
Now, with our headlines, it's our own AWN News 6.
Welcome back, listeners. We have with us our News 6 Jen, bringing you the need-to-know news. Jen, what have you got for us this evening?
Hi, Crystal and Courtney. 2 weeks ago, I brought you the story concerning problems that ACES was facing due to President Trump's federal hiring freeze. I have an update on that story. I'm happy to report that a number of quality of life programs on military installations have gotten a reprieve from the federal civilian hiring freeze.
That's great news, Jen. Can you give us some more details on which programs will be seeing this relief?
Sure. On March 7th, Anthony Curta, who is the Acting Undersecretary of Defense for Personnel and Readiness, signed a memorandum exempting military exchanges, MWR programs, and family readiness programs from the hiring freeze. However, commissaries are still under the hiring freeze at this time.
That is good news. Now, there are other programs that were given an exemption to the freeze in February, right?
Correct. On February 1st, Deputy Defense Secretary Robert Work issued a memorandum outlining 16 DOD functions exempt from the hiring freeze, including workers at military child care facilities. However, officials must submit reports to justify the reasons each position is deemed critical to national security before a new hire can be made. This process has caused problems like a delay in the hiring process or a denial of the exemption for workers hired for jobs such as hourly care at CDCs.
So, Jen, you said that commissaries are still under the hiring freeze. Can you tell us if there have been any negative effects on their services at this time?
Commissaries worldwide have about 1,650 vacancies that are currently not being filled because of the hiring freeze. However, DECA spokesman Kevin Robinson said that so far no services have had to be curtailed at any store. One solution the commissary is using is giving part-time employees additional hours. Robinson did say that some stores are starting to see longer lines at the cash register, and that if the hiring freeze continues for an extended period of time, officials eventually may be forced to temporarily cut services or reduce days and hours if staffing problems occur.
With this new exemption in place, can you tell us how many new hires APHIS is looking at?
The Army has granted exemptions for 876 positions within APHIS to make sure that 18 locations remain operational. An additional 2,069 positions at 85 locations are currently under Army review.
Well, Jen, thanks so much for bringing us this update on this story. It's a relief to hear that the hiring freeze has been lifted to some extent on these services that military families depend on so much. Listeners, stay tuned after this short break for our special interviews with tonight's Army Wife Network's core team members.
The Breastfeeding Shop is an authorized TRICARE provider for breast pumps and accessories, shipping to all of the USA and worldwide for TRICARE. The Breastfeeding Shop specializes in helping the military moms get the best breast pump possible and prides themselves in providing the best customer service possible, as well as a very quick turnaround time. Check out their easy-to-use online ordering form on their website at www.thebreastfeedingshop.com or call toll-free 866-255-6779. Also visit the Breastfeeding Shop on Facebook and check out the rave reviews from other moms at facebook.com/thebreastfeedingshop.
Want more? ArmyWifeNetwork.com offers discussion boards, military family resources, Loving a Soldier blog, and much, much more. Tell your friends about AWN with our interactive tools.
Visit us online at ArmyWifeNetwork.com. ArmyWifeNetwork.com. Interactive empowerment for Army wives.
Welcome back to Army Wife Talk Radio. I'm your host, Crystal Niehoff.
And I'm your co-host, Courtney Shepherd. Tonight, we kick off a series of interviews with your AWN core team of volunteers, airing through the month of April and marking AWTR's 12th anniversary. Army Wife Talk Radio began in April 2005 as the original internet talk radio program for military wives. Originally, AWTR was a 30-minute weekly internet talk radio broadcast featuring up-to-date information, tips, and empowerment for Army spouses. Through the years, it has changed from 30 minutes to its current 60-minute weekly broadcast featuring a live Twitter chat for listeners to actively participate in the conversation. The show has had a great amount of success, being featured in Military Spouse Magazine, Stars and Stripes newspaper, Military.com, and Army.com, just to name a few.
Army Wife Network is blessed to have an amazing team of volunteers who are committed to empowering and enriching the lives of military families, doing this by providing relevant resources and information on our website, along with blog posts from our extensive blogging community of military families. Our volunteer team also works to bring exciting guests, along with the latest news that affects our military and veteran community, to our talk show. Our volunteers also love engaging and interacting with our followers through social media and designing beautiful, fun graphics to inspire you. Stay tuned through the month of April, not only to get to know your AWN core team, but for special giveaways throughout the month as we celebrate our 12th birthday. We're so excited and we're going to have lots of fun.
Crystal, I am so excited. Let's get started with our interview in the series, Army Wife Network's owner and commander, Crystal Niehoff. Crystal is married to her best friend, Army Chaplain Lieutenant Colonel Kevin Niehoff, and is the proud work-at-home mom of Erica and Seth, two fur babies and three grown children with families of their own. Formerly a child welfare worker, Crystal additionally holds certifications as a doula and birth and bereavement chaplain. In 2014, she founded Heartstrings Ministries, providing grief support for military families enduring pregnancy loss in any trimester. Her ebook, Dads in Bereavement, can be obtained through Still Birthday. In her not-so-spare time, Crystal enjoys volunteering, researching, traveling, and photography. She and her family currently live in Fort Hood, Texas. So, Crystal, how did you meet your husband, and how long have you been an Army chaplain's wife?
Well, interestingly, my husband and I met through a Christian online dating website. I set up a profile as kind of a dare. Someone had that I worked with had dared me to, you know, just said, hey, why don't you set one up, you know, you might like it. I wasn't really looking for a relationship. I had been previously married and had children, so it just seemed odd, like awkward to me. It wasn't something I would do.
Right. So, how old are your older children?
My children are 25, 24, 19, and two 12-year-olds.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah. So, and then, of course, I worked in child welfare, so I didn't want any stalker types, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I was hesitant. So I just did it to be able to say that I did it. And, however, just as circumstances were, we kind of started talking back and forth via message through the dating program. I was under an assumed name. I had a different profile name so that I didn't know if one of my clients or something you know, one of the families that I work with would be able to find me, and I didn't want that to happen. I wanted to stay anonymous, so I did have, was under a different name. But we started talking just through that, but it really wasn't sparks. I was, his picture, he had the most, the warmest, sweetest, gentle smile, so that did hook me. But aww. I still was pretty reluctant and stuff, and I wouldn't even give him my phone number or any real personal information until I'd gone to work. I got his information, and I ran a background check on him at work. So once I was reasonably sure he was legit, we started talking on the phone, and so we just, we hit it off over the phone. I mean, it was just, we had so much in common, and we talked for hours and shared a sense of humor, and so it just went from there. And so after a while, I finally felt like we could meet in a public place, and then it was just, it was just kind of like we knew it was meant to be. So that's how we met.
That's so cute. I love that. I love that. Well, since you were a single working mom for many years, you really struggled with your identity after marrying your husband. Why?
Right. Well, I prided myself on being independent. Here I was, a child welfare worker, raising all these children of my own. So I really kind of prided myself on being independent, or, you know, and I felt like working in the child welfare field that I was kind of making a difference, or at least trying to make a difference. And so I really felt that I was pretty good, you know, on my own. And so then I married my husband, and he was really, it was important to him too that I be independent. I mean, he explained to me before we got married that there would be TDYs and deployments, you know, where I'd have to not only take care of myself, but kind of keep things going on the home front, you know, take care of the finances right. and home repair and all that stuff. Well, then when we got married, I was taken aback to learn how much revolved around my husband. And I kind of flinched the first time that he was referred to as my sponsor. I'm like, whoa, hello. So that's when I realized that here, you know, I carried my, before I had carried my own medical insurance and such, I now needed my sponsor to obtain a military ID and present it for medical care that has his information on it, right? Even to get right. into the gate on post to get to my house, you know, because we were living on post, and to purchase items at the commissary and the PX. So, that was really hard for me. You know, it just felt like it took a part of my identity, and maybe it was just pride or stubborn or whatever. And then realizing that just to go to the doctor, or even to make an appointment, I had to give them his social security number, not mine anymore.
Right.
You know.
Right.
And
I still do that. When they ask for my social, I always give them his. It's just like a habit.
Exactly. You know, even to like on my kids' paperwork at school and all this stuff, you know, it's his information. And it was like, where does my name go in all this? You know, where does my information? I was dying to be able to recite my social security number because I really think it's cool. It's kind of, I got it memorized in my head with a little beat to it. You know, it just, it almost rhymes. I know it's silly, but I just wanted to get my number so bad. And then one day, I did, for some reason, we were at the doctor's office, and they did ask for my social security number, and I gave them my husband's, and they said, no, yours, and I couldn't remember it. I almost started crying because I couldn't remember my own social security number. So,
I don't know how many times I've done that. I really don't. I can't even count. How many times I've done that. Well, I really want to talk about your certifications. You're a credentialed birth and bereavement doula and chaplain. Can you just explain what that means, and will you tell us why you pursued certifications in that field?
Sure. Well, it kind of goes back to my feeling of being, you know, losing a sense of identity. And so I kind of started looking for ways to make a difference, ways to almost make a name for myself, you know, to feel like I was doing something positive. So I began volunteering and learning new hobbies. And becoming a certified birth and bereavement doula, actually the desire to do that goes back a little bit before I even met my husband. But then this actually afforded me the opportunity to pursue that certification because I've always loved babies. And as a child, you know, I even kind of tinkered with the thought of becoming an obstetrician. And then, well, seventh grade biology, and I quickly figured out that that would not be my thing. But my heart for working with bereaved parents actually began when my oldest daughter, she lost three babies over the course of a year. She had a single birth that was a stillbirth, a little girl, and then twins the following year who just through a series of events, then she lost them too. They were stillborn. Well, one was stillborn and one lived just for a short time. And the first time when Abby was born and passed, I had never been through anything like that. I had sort of known someone who had been through something like that, just, you know, hearing about them. But we felt lost. I was with my daughter, and she was looking to mom to take care of it. And I realized I couldn't. This wasn't something where I could kiss the owie and make that go away. And trying to navigate, you know, even simple things like, should we have a burial for the baby? You know, what can we do? What's this mean for my daughter and all that? And so fast forward, being now in a where I wasn't working and my husband said, you know, this would be a good time. Why don't you pursue your credentials in that? And so it really sprang from that. I can come alongside a family, whether they're having a life, you know, birth, a happy, joyous time, or be there with them, walking with them through their grief, in, like in the instance of stillbirth or a fatal diagnosis. And really my training, that's what it means. I'm a coach, so like a doula, but I have an emphasis on bereavement. And then I got an additional certification as a birth and bereavement chaplain, which means that I also can do funerals and burials as a chaplain can in those instances. So, I mean, I can't deliver a baby. That goes to a midwife or a doctor. Right. But I can be there for mom and dad and help them both navigate that. And so, and kind of a real quick side note, as far as identity goes, the one thing I learned through everything and getting my credentials and all this stuff as I was looking for the identity I thought I lost is in the end I finally learned that my identity doesn't lie in being a wife or a mom or a doula or the owner of Army Wife Network. What makes me who I am is my personality traits and my belief system and my talents that I carry wherever I go, whatever I do, and through every season. And so I think that realization that we don't have to be somebody or have a title, that we can be who we are, frees us up to be better as a mom or better as an Army wife or a daughter or whatever. So that's my soapbox.
Right. I relate with that, Crystal, and I think a lot of the listeners do too. I really think that, I love what you do, just listening to you talk about it. You sound really passionate about it, and I know that I'm a similar past with that. My sister had a baby that was born with Turner syndrome, and she passed at 3 months old. And that was a very difficult time in our life. And even though I did not carry that child, I did not give birth to that child was still a part of my family. And it was so nice to have, you know, the people like you that were there to help us through that time. So speaking of, you wrote an ebook titled Dads in Bereavement. And can you tell us more about that and where our listeners can actually go to get a copy of that?
Right. Well, it's sort of like what you said, that I noticed that there's a lot of books out there that's geared specifically for moms that are experiencing miscarriage or stillbirth. And rightfully so, the emphasis is on mom. I mean, she's going through this trauma, but as I guess because I was a grandma going through that, with my daughter going through that as kind of a double whammy, I could kind of see how it affected other people, and specifically the dad. They grieve differently, because they want to be strong for their wife and for their children and for their family, and I just struggled to find a resource that I could share with dads or those who were surrounding the dads that could kind of explain what they were going through and hopefully in some way help them. So since I couldn't find one at the time, I wrote just a simple 25-page guide, and it speaks not only to fathers who've experienced miscarriage or stillbirth, but it also helps those who know and love a bereaved dad to better understand and support them through the grieving process, whether it's like an Army chaplain or a pastor or a friend or a grandparent. It just kind of explains what they're going through, what they might be experiencing, because there's no one-size-fits-all. Everyone experiences that differently. And I gifted it to stillbirthday.com. Well, you can get it. It's stillbirthday at stillbirthday. And they have stillbirthday.com, stillbirthday.net. The book in particular is located at stillbirthday.net and under the product tab, Dads in Bereavement. And it helps offset. It's kind of a gift. The proceeds, none of it goes to me. It all goes into Stillbirthday and in touching the lives of others who have experienced loss.
That's amazing, seriously. Speaking of touching the lives of others, what led you to ownership of Army Wife Network?
Oh, wow. So, really trying to learn the ropes. I guess since I came into this Army wife life a little bit older, I felt kind of intimidated in learning all this. You know, like in child welfare, we had acronyms and stuff, you know, so we would speak social work acronyms. But here was a whole new language and a whole new life, and I grew up in a small town and really just had very little knowledge of military life. So I was searching for something to help me kind of learn the ropes. And so I found Army Wife Talk Radio because I love listening to podcasts, and I found it on iTunes. And I just began listening to it and realizing, okay, they're just like me. Yeah. They go through some of the same struggles, and they like to giggle, and they, and then the news and the different guests that came on just helped me learn the ropes. And so I got started there, and then I used the Post with the Most series to learn about my first duty station, and then after that to the next one, and followed all the blog posts because they were living it, and I wanted to see what their lives were, so I followed their blog post and practically lived on the AWN website. And later I became a blogger for AWN, and shortly after that, the founder, Tara Crooks, announced that she was retiring, and looking for someone to take it over, or else AWN would have to shut down. And knowing what it meant to me, especially in my early days of Army wifedom, I knew that I had to do something. I just felt in my heart I just couldn't let it go. So through a series of events, so that AWN could continue to be a resource for both new and seasoned military spouses, I purchased AWN and officially became its owner January 1st of 2016.
Amazing. That's so cool. Well, real quick, what advice can you give to new military spouses?
Well, real quick, I think probably one of the biggest is to find a seasoned military spouse as a mentor. And that's probably one of the first things that I suggest to everyone. I am big into mentorship even before being an Army wife, and I always find someone that's a little more seasoned, a little older than me, that has gone before me, that I admire. And it's not even like an official, will you be my mentor, but I watch them and just glean from their lives, you know, how they speak to someone else or how they act in a situation, and just learn from them. And so that is probably my piece of advice. And then the second is to stay positive and embrace this life. You know, it's really, in the scheme of things, it's really such a short time. And so embrace it, embrace the duty stations, find something to love about it. One of my mentors, and I know I'm talking a lot, but one of my mentors, she actually gave me a piece of advice upon, she was getting close to retiring, her husband. And I said, what was your favorite duty station? And she looked at me and she said, you know, Crystal, all of them. And she says, I chose early on to find something to love about each one. And she said that that has carried her through some difficult duty stations, but she comes away, she does not speak negatively about them. She found something to love in each one. And really it goes back to maybe one of my favorite quotes should have been, that we talked about earlier, should have been, bloom where you're planted. And that's probably one of the best lessons I learned from one of my mentors. So
that's awesome. I love that. I love that quote too. Well, we need to take a quick break. When we come back, we'll be continuing our behind the screen interviews. Next, Crystal will have me in the hot seat. So be sure to stay tuned. And don't forget, if you're listening to our show live right now, the AWN Core team is hanging out over in the Twitter chat. So join in the conversation and ask questions of either Crystal or myself by going to twitter.com/Army Wife Network and use the hashtag Army Wife to participate. Make sure to click on the live tab to get real-time chat updates. We'll be right back with more Army Wife Talk Radio in just a moment.
Kathy Ireland for the Will Rogers Institute.
Are you worried that your kids aren't spending enough time being physically active? The best fitness is family activity. Ride bikes, play soccer, or just take a walk through the neighborhood. The important thing is to get your children moving with you. For more information on family activities and fitness, call the Will Rogers Institute.
Call toll-free 877-957-7575 or visit wrinstitute.org and find us on Facebook and Twitter.
You're listening to Army Wife Talk Radio live here on the Army Wife Network. Our live show is broadcast every Monday night. Join us in our live chat room at blogtalkradio.com/AWTR. Missed the live show or just can't make it? Don't worry. AWTR is available in archived format 24/7 via our website, www.armywifenetwork.com, or on iTunes. It's interactive empowerment for Army Wives by Army Wives. Now, back to the show.
Welcome back to the show. We're talking with AWN Core team members as part of the Behind the Screen mini-series. In the last segment, we got to know AWN's owner, Crystal Niehoff, who shared with us about her life as an Army chaplain's wife and how she became the owner and commander of Army Wife Network.
Now, Courtney, it's your turn to be in the hot seat. Courtney Shepherd has been an Army wife for 5 years and counting, and is married to Sergeant Cody Shepherd, active duty and currently stationed at Fort Bragg, North Carolina. Courtney and Cody have been together for 8 years and married for 6 years. Courtney is a work-at-home mom of two rambunctious girls, Zoe and Haley. She truly enjoys helping others, exercise, going to the beach, browsing Pinterest, coffee, and organization. Courtney is also an online health and wellness coach and passionate about it. She can be a real homebody, but loves to be out with her husband and girls. She enjoys family trips, movie nights, and grilling with friends. Courtney's planner is her lifeline. She's always wanted to give back to the military community and has followed Army Wife Network during her entire time as a military spouse. Courtney, so how did you meet your husband?
That's a funny story, Crystal. I actually was in high school when I met my husband. I was 17, I think, and he was 20. So I freaked out when I found out how old he was because I thought my dad was just going to flip his lid. But he was actually technically my boss at my part-time job in high school. So, well, he wasn't my boss. He was more just like my shift manager, but you get the drift. He was in my leadership, you know, and so I met him working at my part-time job while I was in high school, and we have been together pretty much ever since.
Oh, how cool. Well, tell us more about your children and how you keep yourself busy as a stay-at-home wife and mom. It sounds like you're pretty busy already. I'm sure you don't have to work too hard.
No, I don't. I got a breeze over here. No, but I like to call myself a work-at-home mom because I'm an online health and wellness coach at home, so I have a at-home business. But as far as keeping myself busy, I really just try and make regular play dates with my girls. I try to get out and have one-on-one time with each of them. I just took my oldest daughter to see Beauty and the Beast. I'm sure a lot of our listeners right now have seen Beauty and the Beast, so it's an amazing movie, and I loved it. Have you been yet, Crystal, to see Beauty and the Beast?
Not yet.
Oh, goodness. I recommend it. It's good. But
my daughter will.
Yeah.
My daughter wants to go. We just haven't had a chance to go yet.
Oh, yes. I loved it. We just saw that. So I do little play dates and one-on-one time with them. And I'm a big planner. So oddly enough, I plan my cleaning days, if that's not crazy. kind of know when I'm going to be, you know, doing a certain task, especially, you know, like when you let your laundry build up for 2 weeks, you kind of need to know when you're going to get that done. So,
right.
I just keep myself busy with my at-home business, which I'm in love with. Like, I just wake up and I'm ready to do it every day. I don't hate it in any sense of the word. I completely find joy in it every day. And, that's pretty much how I stay busy. Just my work at home and my kiddos and spending time with my hubby, and that's pretty much what we do.
Would you mind telling us a little bit about your health and wellness coaching? How did you come about doing that? Is there a training or tell us a little bit about that?
I've got a little bit of a story with it. I had my first daughter at 19, so I was very young, and I was walking about 9 miles a night when I was pregnant with her.
Wow.
So after, in February, believe that, it was, I was walking 9 miles a night. So after I gave birth to her, my body kind of like bounced back. I'd always been the tiny one in my family. I was like, I'm 5'2", and I'd be like 115 pounds. I just bounced back. Gradually, you know, after I had my firstborn. My kiddos are 5 years apart. So after my second baby, I was classified as high risk with my second baby because I had a placental abruption during my first pregnancy. And so they told me no exercise. And I didn't exercise with number two at all. And it's actually, I gave birth to her. Everything went well. And afterward, I just did not, I felt very out of tune with myself. I was overweight for my height. I felt very, very, very insecure about myself. I did cause problems, you know, between my husband and I. I would wear huge yoga pants and I just didn't feel good. I just did not feel good, you know. I had been following a girl for about 3 years on Facebook, and she was an online health and wellness coach. And I followed her forever, and I was like, oh, yeah, that's great, but I'm just not doing that, right? I'm just not going to do that. Anyway, I don't know what came over me, Crystal, but one day I just messaged this girl, and I was like, okay, what do I have to do to look like you do? What do I have? Because right. I've got to do something. I cannot sit around all day feeling sorry for myself or, you know, terrible in my own skin. I just did not feel good at all. And she paired me with a workout program and a superfood shake that I drink every single day. And I started doing it. I did 21 days. I lost 15 pounds so far. Wow. Between when I started and now, I've lost almost 30 pounds. And I just decided to join. They have a direct, I really don't like to say direct sales because I more help people than just make a sale, if you get what I'm saying. It's like I enjoy, that's why I've stuck with it for 2 years. Because it gives me so much joy to get a message that says, I lost a pound today, or I lost 2 inches in my thighs today, or I can't believe that I was able to afford organic food, you know. And these women, especially more of my markets, like moms, you know, young moms, young wives, military spouses, I hook them up with a workout and a shake, and they drink it every day, and they do the workouts every day. And I get these messages that just make my heart like melt, because it's like they're feeling what I felt, and then I'm helping them change it. You know, they felt like I did. You know, we shared the same stories, and we have the same situations, excuse me. And I was able to help her, kind of like when you meet a new spouse that's like brand new in the Army, and you just want to help give them all the resources, you know, right? And it's kind of like that, but it's like with health and exercise and wellness and just overall being happy. And some of these women have never heard of personal development before, and I'm like, girlfriend, just pick up a book and I've got you, you know. Like, I've got whatever you need. If you need positivity in your life, I got a book for that. They've got a book for that. But I mean, I just love it. I love doing it every single day. It really brings me so much joy. I would do it if they didn't pay me. And I think that's what we should do. We were talking about quotes earlier, and I thought of one just now. It's, if you love what you do, you'll never work a day in your life. Mm-hmm. And
yes.
I really do feel like that's what I do. So.
Now, with the health and wellness coaching, I know I'm going completely off script, but
that's okay.
This is interesting to me. As a military spouse, how does that travel with you? You know, when you PCS, is that something that has been a flexible career for you?
You know, yeah. It's like probably the most mobile career I have ever done. I've tried other direct marketing, direct sales businesses, and that's when I knew I wasn't in love with it because I did not continue those businesses. When I picked this up, it was like a match made in heaven. I was ready for it. And I was like, well, can I do this from anywhere? Because I'm a military spouse. Mm-hmm. It's what I do. My husband and I have no intention of transitioning to civilian life anytime soon. So, yeah, I need something that goes with me. And it does. I mean, anywhere that we move to, it goes with me. And it's kind of like an icebreaker. I make new friends. I travel with the business. We have a yearly, like, get-together. This year we're going to New Orleans in July, so I'm so pumped for that. And I get to meet other coaches that do the same thing I do, and they just love doing it. And I've made tons of friends through it. And it's a mobile business. I mean, there are tons and tons and tons of military spouses out there that do this job. And the market's not saturated, so it's like one big happy family. I've made some of my best friends in this business. So, yeah, it's definitely something awesome I can take with me.
Now, speaking of duty stations, how many duty stations have you been to, and do you have a favorite, and why?
When my husband joined, we got our first duty station was Fort Stewart, Georgia. He was infantry prior to being field artillery. He is field artillery now, and we are currently stationed at Fort Bragg. So we've been to two duty stations total, but I like both of them. If I had to pick a favorite, it would probably be Fort Stewart. We live near the Savannah, Georgia area, and it is beautiful down there. Yeah. Is so beautiful and so much fun. There's always something to do. And it was like the nightlife out there really intertwined with family time down there. We could take our kids to the city market area and listen to live music and have ice cream and, you know, things like that. It was so much fun. My kids loved it. My husband loved it. There's a Paula Deen restaurant down there, and I'm a huge fan. Huge fan, and we really did like it down there. But you know what? Fort Bragg is really growing on us. It really is.
That's awesome. And what are some things that you've learned along the way as an Army wife?
That's a great question. You know,
because it sounds like you have a lot of experiences, even between two duty stations. You're very busy. You're very outgoing. What are some things you've learned?
You know, I've always been that way. I hear I get that from my dad, being outgoing. And I hear that I get my tender heart from my mom. And I'm originally from Dallas, Texas. So if you can't hear that in my accent, you know now. But being in the military life, it's really helped me grow and mature. I grew up fast growing up in my childhood. I think we've all had our trials, you know. Mine were a little crazy sometimes, but I've really grown and matured on the Army life. My husband and I's marriage has grown and matured as well. So I think what I've learned along the way is that there's always room for growth. And, you know, the military can be both a blessing and sometimes can be a headache. We all can really admit to that if we want to be real. But I really think that there's always room for growth. And whether it be in your marriage or if the Army grows on you or friendships, relationships that you build over time, there's always room for improvement is what I like to always tell myself. So I think that's one thing. Right. And then learning not to take things personally would probably be the second, because in the very beginning, I was a very young Army wife and I did not do what your advice was earlier, and that's to get a mentor. I did not do that, and I had a hard time adjusting. I didn't make many friends. The friends that I did have, we just did not click, and I don't know, I was really having a hard time. And then the Army was always pulling my husband away, and I took it personal, and I shouldn't have. And that's probably something that I the biggest thing that I learned along the way.
Wow. So what advice would you give to a new military spouse then, given what you've learned along the way?
To a new spouse, two things. Make friends. Make friends somewhere. I mean, just somewhere. If it's the neighbor, if it's a play date, if it's the post library, if you put your kids in sports and you want to make friends with the sports moms or other spouses in sports or things like that, the school, if your kids are school-aged and you make friends with the class moms, just find a friend. At least one, I think, is always helpful because, who doesn't love friends, right?
But at the same time, we need friends.
The second thing I would say to a new military spouse is to try your best to continue to find the positive in even a negative situation, because I believe there's a positive in the negative. If something negative is happening, try to find the positive, and you'll be surprised how quickly a negative can turn into a positive situation. If you just say, yeah, that sucks, but you know what? This is happening, and that's a great thing. And I've really tried to live by that myself.
Oh, good advice. Good advice. So what led you to volunteering for Army Wife Network?
You know, I've been waiting for this question like all night because this is a huge full circle moment for me. I when my husband first joined, I knew nothing, right, about the military. We were together before the Army. I had no idea what I was getting into. I just when we decided, I had no clue, right? But you know, I kind of stumbled upon this thing called ArmyWifeNetwork.com, and it had everything. I mean, everything was there. If I had a question, I just searched the search bar on ArmyWifeNetwork.com. And then I had an Apple iPhone when he first joined, and I found the podcast app. And whoa, was that surprising for me. I was like, great, there's every show in the world on here. So I'd just scroll, and I would save podcast episodes to questions that I had. And then I would listen to it. And then I'd take notes, literally, Crystal. I had like a binder to prep myself for deployment. You know how you have like
I love Me
books? And then you've got like your pre-deployment paperwork. This girl had the pre-deployment binder for Army Wives. That's what I had. And I had all my notes from ArmyWifeNetwork.com. So I had, with the question you say, what led me to volunteering for Army Wife Network was, I had seen a post you guys were offering a position, and I didn't care what position it was. I was applying because I was like, okay, they need somebody. It's going to be me. So I emailed, and I was like, I'm down for an interview. Let's do this. And, you know, Sharita had called me and was like, you know, giving me questions, and I thought I completely bombed the interview, right? Completely bombed it. I was like, this is not going to happen for me. I told my husband I was upset, you know, and he was like, it's okay. If it's meant to be, it's meant to be, right? So, and then it was offered to me, and I was like, score. So it was just like something that I really, really wanted to do. I've always wanted to volunteer, right? But I know volunteering in general is purposeful. But I wanted my volunteer work to be towards something that I could give back to that was given to me. And Army Wife Network gave a lot to me. And I really wanted to show my appreciation by giving something back. That's why I joined the team and really wanted to do that.
I love that. Well, thank you for sharing that. You know, I appreciate your enthusiasm, and you ooze joy, and it's listening to your story, it's hard. I'm sitting here just grinning ear to ear. So I have come away from your interview so pumped and ready to get back on my exercise routine, but also it has been such a fun interview. Thank you so much for letting us just catch a glimpse into your life this evening and getting to know you better.
Of course. Thank you as well, Crystal.
And listeners, thank you for tuning in. We hope you enjoy this behind the screen glimpse into our lives. Join us next week, April 3rd, 2017, when our featured guest will be Sherita Knobloch, AWN's own executive officer and deputy commander, along with Erica Garvin, AWTR's assistant coordinator, as our mini-series continues. It's going to be another great show. You don't want to miss it.
In the meantime, join us on www.armywifenetwork.com to stay connected to resources, information, expert columnists, and share the journey with many of our experienced contributors, or follow along any of our social media outlets, Twitter, Pinterest, and Instagram.
Interactive empowerment for Army Wives by Army Wives. This is Army Wife Network's core team signing out.
The views and opinions expressed in our show are personal. Army Wife Talk Radio is in no way affiliated with the Department of Defense or any other branch of the armed services, and inclusion in our show does not reflect endorsement by the DOD, any local government, or their agencies. Thank you for listening, and be sure to tune in again next week for another informative edition of Army Wife Talk Radio.